Speaking of missions, the last time we were together, the mission and missions, and I want to go back to that in a minute, but I'm going to ask you a question or two before we begin. What is it that we know that missionaries do? Okay, what was that? Spread the word of God. What else? What are some other things that we know that missionaries do? Okay, reach out, help people. Okay, what else? Set an example for others. Great. So what else missionaries do? They pray. Good. Specifically missionaries. A lot of these things that we're talking about, you know, just regular Christian folk. I mean missionaries in general. Jake. Speak the word of God. Okay. Okay. Learn a new language. They go to different people. Right? Okay, they travel around the world, right? But they go to the people that God's called them to go to. They lead people to the Lord, right? They help those same people grow. Missionaries, just as a reminder, missionaries don't go to pastor a church. Missionaries go to train a pastor to pastor a church. And when that pastor grows and they move on to another area and they get more people saved and train a person to, you know. So this is what missionaries do, right? They different languages, different groups of people, preaching the word, seeing people get saved. They disciple them and grow them up. What else do we say? Spreading the word around. Good stuff, right? That's...
They help start new churches.
They help start new churches. Very good. You know, they're pretty much... involved in that mission that we talked about last time we were together. Now, just as a reminder, I want to go back and rehearse this in our brains because I want this to become like rote with us, that we know it without even thinking about it. The mission that God has set forth, God's mission, is to restore lost man into the image of God that was lost when he sinned. Okay, that is what the goal is. Seeing someone accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, that's not the goal. That's a portion of the goal. That's where it starts. Okay, that's not where it stops. We know that. Why? Because the Bible says, go into the world and make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them whatsoever things I've commanded you. That's the commission. It doesn't just say, lead them to the Lord. It says, lead them to the Lord, baptize them, and help them to grow. Okay? So the mission, God's mission, is to restore lost man into that image of God. Remember in the very beginning we talked about God said to himself, let us make man in our image. Okay, this fallen flesh and sinful life that we're living in is not God's ultimate plan for us. Okay, he is not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance. God wants everyone to be restored. Now, I want you to focus on that for a minute. That means this isn't where he originally planned us. Okay? We have a job. And that's the mission of God, is to see every single human being have the opportunity to get back into the right relationship with God. Period. Okay? Then we talked about missions. Okay? So that is God's mission, singular. Missions is how you and I can be involved in that. Okay, and that is us being involved in seeing people get saved, baptized, grow in the Lord, and we get a chance to grow people to the point where they're taking on that mission themselves. Correct? Okay, stay with me. So the mission is to see people restored into the image of God that they lost because of sin. The missions that we do is we go out into this world, try to get people to realize that Jesus Christ is their Savior, get back on the path of the right relationship with God, begin to grow in the Lord, till they themselves are doing the mission. Yes, that's what discipleship is. Discipleship is the key to that. You get someone introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ, they accept them as Savior, and then we as a group of people, as mentors, as disciplers, take them and help them to grow to the point where they're capable of doing that. Okay, we can... Go ahead, Bruce. conclusion. Thank you, Bruce, but I want to get us there because sometimes we can easily say that, but we don't really get it to a concrete place in our lives because we miss a few of the pieces. So we're going to fill in a couple of pieces there. So if Bruce was going to talk about, if we were going to put a name on this, we are all missionaries. Every single one of us. Every one of us are missionaries. We are supposed to be out there in the world. Now, there's this idea that I want to introduce to us, and we'll kind of pursue it over the next few times we're together, is that we are leaving a legacy. We are leaving a legacy. And I like the fact that some of Doc's legacy is here with us this morning. Amen? It doesn't change. Many of us, our years are ticking up there. Was that politically correct enough? I didn't say a bunch of y'all old folk. Okay. But we get a chance through the family that we've helped grow in this life to see our legacy continue on. What are you and I leaving behind as a legacy? Now, again, we talked about this Wednesday night. Remember, we were talking about passing on a name, and that my wife's family, her father and mother, are Van Nordens. Okay, that's their last name. They are pretty much the last generation that are going to have that name through her mom and dad. Now, there are brothers and sisters that are continuing on the name, but my wife's name got changed to Fisher, so she's no longer Van Orden, she's Fisher. Her brother, who is the Van Orden in that line, had two daughters. Both of those daughters are going to have their names changed to something else. So yes, there's a family legacy that's getting left behind, but the name Van Orden will stop at that generation with my wife's part of the family. Now, Uncle Dean and Robert and some others that are in the family still can have that Fisher, Van Orden name continue on. And it just made me think again about this legacy that you and I have an opportunity to pass on. Did you realize that you and I, we are in a long legacy of missionaries in this world? We are part of a long line of Christian missionaries. You ever think about it that way? You should. Because how many of us are missionaries? Bruce, who blew my punchline? Every single one of us are missionaries. We're going to get to that. We're going to theme that down. And we are in a long line of missionaries. And we're going to kind of dissect that down here in a minute. But what I wanted to kind of focus us on, a couple thoughts. Number one, we saw mission, our mission, and we saw missions in what we are supposed to be doing. What then is the mission field? Okay. Aha. Okay, we can say the world. That's a great Christian answer. But I can't say my mission field is the world because right now I don't live in Korea or Japan or down under. Okay, getting closer. The mission field is the people. Now listen, is the people that God has placed in our lives in whom we can carry out the mission. What is the mission? Restoring people into that lost image because of sin. So the mission field are the people that God has put us in contact with, that we can accomplish that in our lives and in their lives, correct? Now, I want us to be thinking clearly about this because every single one of us are a train, a car linked in a long line, long train. You ever sit by one of those? You go out west where trains are still a big deal, and you're sitting there for 45 minutes, just watching trains going, how many cars are in this train? You know, these humongous long line of trains. You can get caught over here in Bellis Falls once in a while, but usually it's not that long of a train. It's just a little one. Okay, we are in a long legacy of missions that go down through this world. And you and I have to keep a clear realization of that, because if not, just like my father-in-law, the Van Norden name, can stop with this generation. If we're not careful and we don't keep that realization in us, that long legacy of missions can stop with you and me. Now, what did we say some of the job of a missionary was? And all of us are missionaries, so I kind of baited you into this one. Every one of us a missionary, and what's a missionary's job? Go out and preach the word, right? Share it with people. Go out and see people get saved, right? Go out and baptize them. Go out and help them grow into the people God wants them to be. Go out and start churches. Go to a certain place where God has called you to that group of people. Now, some of us can, you know, glamorize missions and say, well, you know, my field is Ecuador. And we make it sound so great because it's some other country, some exotic language. You know, we're going to be eating strange food. Listen, I've seen some of your lunches. This is pretty strange. Guys, our mission field is the people that God has called us to be with right here. Could be your own family, your own neighbors. The people, the mission field are the people that God has put you in to see the mission accomplished. Each one of us have our own mission field, and we're in a long legacy. Now, with that in mind, I want to roll back a thought to probably who we can claim as the first and foremost, and that's the Apostle Paul. That didn't come out right. The Apostle Paul. Probably, arguably, the one who has set the example for Christian missions in our world. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was here, but Jesus wasn't a Christian. Jesus was Christ. Okay? And when we talk about Christian missions, David, Moses, you know, those guys weren't Christians. They were Jews. When we talk about Christian missions, the theme was set by the Apostle Paul. He was the one that God called to be the apostle to the Gentiles, which is the church age which we're living in right now. So, I want to go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 to jump off this morning. Acts chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Now, we understand about Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus and how that he got plugged in with Aquila and Priscilla and got discipled and spent many years learning, above all the things that God had already taught him through his life. And he gets hooked up with Barnabas. This Barnabas is this encourager, this big brother, who grabs the apostle, who grabs Saul, and begins to team up with him and get them into a place where God's going to use the both of them. And this is where we pick it up in chapter 13 in the church in Antioch. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene. Menaean, that which was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work where I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray you guide our minds today. Be with my mind. Lord, help us to understand and see our involvement in this long line of folks who have been missionaries in this world. And Lord, we see it established here with Barnabas and Saul, the Apostle Paul. And Lord, it is something that has continued down through history, and we're a part of it. And so, Father, I just pray you help us to see where we fit. And Lord, I just pray that you would impress upon our hearts the important part that we play. And Lord, give us the extra gumption, that zeal, to be the part that we ought to be. Father, I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. So we keep your finger here. We'll look back for a minute. But there's an interesting thing that we're talking about in this passage. That God said, I have called Barnabas and Saul, the Apostle Paul. We're going to look at that calling in our lives and what it means. Because a lot of times I think it's misunderstood in this world. But I want you to see something in this legacy that we're talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You with me there? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, ye have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Now, he's saying, you have a lot of people who know, have a lot of knowledge of the Word of God. But there are not a lot of you who are fathers. Okay, and so the Apostle Paul qualifies that in the next verse. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. You see how now we're seeing this established, this legacy, this pattern, this long line. The Apostle Paul says, I want you to follow me. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. I thought we were supposed to follow Jesus. Yes. Keep going. Look, if you would, to 11, same book, chapter 11, verse 1. The Apostle Paul here says in 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now here's where I want this to be clear in us. The Apostle Paul says, listen, you got a lot of people who know a bunch of things out of the Word of God, but you don't have a lot of fathers. Now, guys, what is a father? Father, number one, not only is it generally the person who brought you into this world, but father is the one who spends his life investing in you, teaching you how to become an adult human, correct? Okay, fathers and mothers, that's what our job is. We look at it, we're not raising children, we are raising parents, right? We're not training children, we're training adults to be. When you look at these little guys, when I was raising my kids, I don't go, oh, look at you two guys, I want you to be the cutest kids you can be for the rest of your life. That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? We don't spend our time training them to be children. We're spending our time training them to be adults. So that, come on, grandmas and grandpas, so that they can bring you grandbabies. Right? Because God's put in us naturally that desire. Once our kids reach adulthood, we don't start going, I got to keep teaching these guys what to do. Now we start going, I've taught them what to do. Now give me grandbabies. I've seen you women foaming at the mouth. Okay, come on. Babies. Raise them with grandbabies. Because the desire that God's put in us naturally is the same desire spiritually. Our goal as a father or a parent is to bring that person to an adulthood so that they can be a parent. Right? The Apostle Paul says, listen, I want you to follow me as I follow Christ. Now that's interesting because you might think, well, that's awful prideful, Paul. The last time I checked, Jesus isn't around the corner to watch, is he? Now we can read about him in the book, and that's true, but that's not how God designed it. God didn't give us one father, Abraham, down through the years, and we hatched in the woods somewhere and we go read about who our father was to learn how to be an adult, do we? He gives every single one of us a set of parents to teach us how to be grown-ups. Well, he's done the same thing spiritually for us. And the Apostle Paul is the coal car behind the engine. And every group of people behind that, he's saying, hook up behind me. Listen, I'm going to walk the path in front of you. Follow me as I follow Christ. We were talking about this morning and what Dan was sharing. God's given us three things in our lives to help us set a good moral compass in our Christian walk. Number one's the Word, which we addressed. Number two is prayer, which Dan hit heavy this morning, because that is probably the weakest thing, in Christianity in America, is prayer. And the other thing is his church. He uses all three of those things. Why does he use his church? Because I can set my moral compass by watching what men and women of God have done down through the years and how they've lived their lives. Okay, I'm not an island to myself. We talked about that. Go back and listen to the Sunday school. Okay, we don't live to ourselves. We don't die to ourselves. First of all, we're God's. But secondly, the Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Imagine for a moment if, hi, sweetie, you know, we gave birth to you. And now you've grown up. You're about 5 years old. It's so good. And now from now on, I want you to watch the Smiths who live next door, because they're going to show you how to live. Would we do that? I hope not. It happens now, unfortunately. How many times do we talk about grandmas and grandpas taking on the role of mom and dad because they don't know how to be a parent? But how silly would it be to say, oh yeah, I brought you into this world and I'm your father, but you know what? I'm going to pass you on to somebody else to help you to grow. That just messes up the whole system, doesn't it? There's no longer a legacy there anymore. I want you to run down the street to Mrs. Johnson's house and she'll teach you how to do all these things. No. If you're going to be a mother and a father, you may be ready. That is the most shocking reality of, right? That little baby is born, comes out. That's just what it sounds like. Okay? And you grab a hold of that baby as the first time and as a dad, and you're looking at this kid going, oh my Lord, this person is responsible to grow this baby up to be a proper adult. You know, up until that point, you're like, I'm a dad, this is awesome. You a buddy, woohoo, it's a boy. And then you hold that kid and you realize for the next 16, 17, 18 years, they're going to learn what life is about from me. Well, the Apostle Paul says, listen, guys, in our walk in Christ, it's the same way. You follow me as I follow Christ. Go back to the Great Commission in your mind for a minute. Who does he tell to go out and make disciples? Go ye, who's the ye? Us, right? So I'm supposed to go out, you're supposed to go out, every single one of us is supposed to go out and make disciples. But after we make disciples, are we supposed to pass them off to another parent? That same person who made this disciple, it also says, baptizing them, so making sure that they were taking those first steps of obedience. Remember, that's the first part with kids. The Bible says, children, obey your parents, then honor your father and mother. The first thing kids need to learn is obedience. Then they learn how to honor. But go ye into all the world and teaching them whatsoever things I've commanded you. So back it up. Who's the ye? Go ye into all the world. Who's the ye? And it says, ye teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So whose responsibility is it to teach that person all things? Every single one of us. Just like when I have a child, I don't say, oh great, you're so cute, I love you, but now you're out of the terrible twos and I'm going to pass you on to somebody else. That is not how God's legacy carries on. Another verse, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 17. Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. So Paul says, listen, be ye followers of me, but not only that, if there's somebody else that's following me, somebody else in the path that all of a sudden is doing the same kind of walk that I am, put a check mark on their life too. And follow them as examples. Paul says, okay, so I may be down the road a piece, but you know what? There's some people who have been following me, and they're a good example too. I want you to check them box off and say, they're the kind of folks I want to follow too. You with me so far? Does that maybe sound like a great-grandpa talking to his great-grandkids? Hey, I look down and, you know, I've put in a long life. I'm 137 years old and I've got some great-grandkids. And you know what? I want to, as a great-grandpa, be a good example. But you know what? Grandpa, he's a good example. And actually, Dad's a good example, too. This has been a long time. Our family has done this for years. Don't we say that all the time? We have family things that we do, legacy things. And that great-grandkid or great-great-grandkid or go down the line. My wife is into genealogy. She loves that kind of stuff. And what's neat is you can find out some of the family histories and why people do certain things they do in their family. You ever have funny little sayings that only your family uses? Okay, my wife, there was one they started called leaning towards Sawyers. Okay, if you're looking at me going, what? Okay, if you never heard that, the Sawyers farm used to be next door. And if something was not quite right, they had an old silo. And the old silo started settling in the ground and it was leaning towards Sawyers. So if something was cockeyed or weird or didn't fit right, the family would just say, oh, that's leaning towards Sawyers. Okay, down through the years, it's just something that's been a part of their family because it's just passed on. What are you and I passing on? Because I'll tell you what, there's been a lot of stuff passed on to us. There's been many people in our lives who have invested their lives in us to grow. Maybe a grandpa in the Lord. Maybe a dad or a mom or a great-grandmom in the Lord. Are you in the legacy line? Are you a car hooked up on this long train? Because it'd be sad to think it ends with us. We got a place to fit. Look, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, not just in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Listen, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. It wasn't just about the words that they were speaking. They said, you know us. The Apostle Paul in another passage says, you have fully known my struggles, my life, my doctrine. It's not about just being, remember he said, you got 10,000 instructors. It's not just about the word, but not many fathers. He said, you've seen our lives. Look at the next verse, verse 6. And ye became followers of us. You became followers of us. You became followers of us and of the Lord, and have received the word in much affliction and with joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 7. So that ye were ensamples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. Okay. Apostle Paul says, listen, follow me as I follow Christ. You've seen not just the words I've spoken, but you've watched my life. You know the kind of person I am. Follow me as I follow Christ. Then he goes on ahead and said, and expect that people are going to follow you as you follow Christ. Mark those ones that you're going to follow that are worthy, but understand something. You are also going to be a person that people are going to follow if you're doing it right. You see that verse 7? So that ye were ensamples to all that believe. The Apostle Paul says, listen, line up behind us. There's me and there's others that you can mark in your life that are worth following. But understand, you are also going to be an example to those that believe. Where do you and I fit in this legacy? Have you ever even considered that you fit in the legacy? Are you looking behind you going, anybody following me? Because we ought to be, shouldn't we? Because what a sad thought it would be to know the legacy might stop with us. I'm following the Lord, and I'm following this pastor, and I'm following that Christian, and I know that sister in the Lord in her life, and I've watched them. Granted, yes, please understand, we're all human. But God has purposely set examples in our lives so we can mark as people that we should also be following the Lord like they did. Follow me as I follow Christ. Now, listen, I'm not stating that, hi, I'm your pastor, I want you to follow me. I hope I live a life that you one of you guys can say, yeah, all right, you know, Fisher, he does a pretty good job. Well, you know, some of those things. But I'm not asking you for me. I'm telling you what God's word says about we are in a family legacy, that we are fathers in the Lord. Not just instructors. We ought to have a life that people watch us and say, I want to be like them as they follow. You read that with Paul with me, didn't you? Somebody nod. Okay. We just saw that Paul said, listen, you guys watched us. You've seen our example. You've known our lives, and you're choosing to follow us as we're following the Lord. And understand, when you do that, people are going to see your example, and they're going to want to follow you. This is discipleship. It's not about information. Guys, I know we do 16 lessons, or we have the directions book, or we have, you know, it's not about the information that you pass on. It is about the fact that you and I realize that our lives are strategically placed to help somebody else. No, Junior, I'm sorry, you're 5 now. Go down to the Johnsons, they'll teach you how to live the rest of your life. Hogwash. If God's given you a child, he's expecting you to be the father and mother to train that child to go on and do adult-like things. Yes? How about in Christ? Y'all accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? Somewhere up the chain, God has put in your life an example that helped you to see that reality, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and how shall they hear without a preacher? God's put us in this. We are not one-man show. If you're a car on a track all by yourself out here, you're in the wrong place. Because there are people who we ought to be following with our lives, and there's people who ought to be following us. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous. This is one of my theme verses of my life. I love this verse. So I'm going to read this one separate, then we'll fit it in. Okay? For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor and love, which ye have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Man, I love that verse. God is not unrighteous. God's keeping track. He's the ultimate bookkeeper. And if you're serving him, don't worry. He knows. Okay, we just talked at the end of Sunday school about standing someday before God and waiting to hear that, thou, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or here's some other things you need to see. But God is not unrighteous. He's watching. He knows. Keep that in mind with verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end. Paul says, listen, we're serving. We know that God's not unrighteousness. He is going to reward us by our behavior. And he says, we want you guys to be aware of that. And part of it too, verse 12 says this. And be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Paul says, you know what? God's not unrighteous. He's going to take care of it. He won't forget your labor of love. He understands the ministry that you're doing. And we want you to be a part of that same ministry, that same labor, that same work of love, because, read verse 12 again, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them. The Apostle Paul says, I want you to be followers of those folks who stand before you, who've walked before you, and live that kind of life of leading people to the Lord and growing them and training them up in the fathers that they are spiritually. Now, this is all forest for the trees, remember? We talked about what the mission is. We talked about missions and what it is. We're talking about our mission field. Now we're talking about the fact that in missions we are in a long legacy, a long line of Christian missions that's gone down through centuries. And we have a big part in that. Not just somebody who signs up with a mission board and travels to Ecuador. How many of us are missionaries? Every single one of us. So we all fit into this legacy. Do you know, guys like Billy Graham didn't get saved in a foreign country by a missionary. Got saved right here in our country by just a good brother in Christ who was doing his job as a Christian. It doesn't have to be a superman or a superwoman called to be on some other continent speaking some language they weren't born speaking. Every single one of us are missionaries. And who knows who's right behind you. Can you imagine that fellow? I can't even remember his name. I had it the other day. But the fellow who led Billy Graham to the Lord, imagine in your mind this train, right, that we're talking about, of a long legacy of missions. And here's this person who led him to the Lord, looking behind him going, "Whoa! I got Billy Graham behind me!" I don't know what kind of him back, but the fact that I don't know his name probably tells you he didn't have as much impact as Billy Graham did. Who knows the person who's right behind you in this train and what God's going to cause? You may be leading the next Billy Graham to the Lord. Or Wilhelmina Graham. You ever think about that, how exciting that is? And maybe they're young in the Lord and you just barely know them and you say, "Listen, follow me and I'll teach you everything I know." It may not be much. How many of us, when we taught our kids, thought we taught them everything they should have to know in the whole world, no matter what? No way! We pushed them out the door going, "Oh Lord, I hope we did all right, because there's some stuff out there." Especially, I mean, things are so different. I mean, you talk about computers and all the stuff that's going on. Well, there's no way we could have been prepared for where we are now. But we do our best and say, "Go." Guys, that's what we do in Christ. We may not be super theologians. That's not what we're expected to be, just like we're not expected to be super parents. You just share what you have learned and what you know, and you do your best and say, "That's all I can offer. Now find somebody else who can offer you more. Follow me as I follow Christ." So they'll watch us, learn some things, and then all of a sudden go, "Thank you so much." And you know what? How many of us want our kids to be better than we were? Right? Every single one of us. I don't want them to go, "All right, you know what, I've taught you everything, but I want you to be dumber, poorer, you know, than I." No, we want to push them further. We want to boost them up the ladder. Isn't that what we want in Christ? Listen, I know I've been discipling with you, I've been training you, I've been helping you in the Lord, but I want to tell you, God's got so much more for you than he ever had for me. I've shown you everything I can show you. Now let me push you forward. Let me give you a boost up the ladder. Let me tell you what not to do. Because boy, we're good at figuring that out, aren't we? Follow me as I follow Christ. Now there's something interesting here that I want to talk to you just for a brief, and we'll be done. In Christianity, we have this weird thing, and we just read it in Acts chapter 13, and it said, "Separate ye Barnabas and Paul to the work that I have called them to do." And in Christianity, we make a big deal about the call. The call, the call. When I was in Bible college, you would hear these kids all the time. We'd have we had chapel every day. So at a certain time of day, we gathered together, and there was a special speaker. And then we'd have Missions Emphasis Week, okay? And that whole week, missionaries would come in. And usually at the end of Missions Emphasis Week, they'd have a sit-down where they'd sit up here in chairs, and just the student body would ask a question. And undoubtedly, every single time we had one, we had enough of them, probably a dozen while I was there, someone would raise their hand and say, how did you know, or when did you get the call of God? The call. As it echoes through the room, you know, curtains blow, you know, the call. That we've made this sort of mystic idea of some supernatural, bless you, amazing, you know, call that has happened. Bless you again. And we have this image sometimes that we heard the audible voice of God speaking from heaven, a map of Africa appeared in the sky, okay, we saw the image of a certain place in the world in your latte in the morning, you know, that's how you knew, yeah, latte, yeah, gross, coffee's bad enough, okay. There is no secret code, no mysterious message. If I'm going to define this as easily as I can for you, the Bible's definition of called is invited. Period. An invitation is all it is. A couple examples. I just want you to see this with me. So when he says, separate Barnabas and Paul to the work that I have invited them to do. You ever receive an invitation? Was it complicated? Was it mystical? Okay, be with you. Look at Matthew chapter 2. I just want to set the stage of this. There are so many places we can do this throughout the scripture. If you put in your Bible search or get your concordance and look up the word call, you will be very busy. Okay, that's how many of these are. But there are. But Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. If you can't keep up with me, just listen to what it says. And when he had called unto him the 12, he gave them power against unclean spirits. So he calls them. He invites the 12. Well, but pastor, that was the apostles. So that was special. Same Greek word. Chapter 15, verse 10. Chapter 15, verse 10. Doing a little Bible lesson here real quick. 15, verse 10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. So who did he call? Everybody. The multitude, all of them that were there. Same word. Okay, we're not talking about something special just for the apostles. We're talking about an invitation that went out to everybody that was within earshot. Next one. Look at 18, verse 2 and 3. Another one we're kind of familiar with. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, 2 and 3. It said, if you can't keep up, just listen. I'll try to read it my best. And Jesus called the little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye should not enter the kingdom of heaven. This same call goes out to a little kid. What does it mean? He invited that little kid. Come on up here. Sit on Jesus' lap for a minute. I want to use you as an example. Does that sound super spiritual and mystical and, you know, it got written across the sky? No, this is just an invitation. Mark chapter 8. Just two more. He said, there are very many more, but I want us to see this. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his 12 also, he said unto them, whosoever shall come after me and deny himself, let him take up his cross and follow me. He called all of them. All the people, the disciples, he just made an invitation. One more, Luke 18. And like I said, you could spend a long time looking up this idea of the call. 18:16. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer the little children to come unto me. You remember this one? There's a whole group of kids, and the disciples say, ain't got time for all you little rugrats to come around Jesus. And Jesus said, hold on a second. And he called all those little kids to come unto him. Do you see what we're talking about? When the Apostle Paul was set out to be one of the first missionaries that we see recorded in the Bible, he said, separate me, these guys, to the work that I have invited them to do. Yes. Yep. But the idea that I'm trying to put out is this was nothing spectacular. This wasn't, you know, oops, I bumped into my bookshelf and my atlas fell open and my highlighter fell out of the cup and popped the lid off and it underlined Zimbabwe. But I'll tell you one thing, sometimes Christians want to put so much emphasis on that kind of thinking that they wind up handicapping themselves and doing nothing because they think, oh, I never received the call. Guys, every single one of us are called. Every one of us are invited. Every one of us are missionaries. Where is your mission field? The people that God has put you in the midst of. Okay, let's get cooking here. We'll finish up. Mark chapter 2, verse 17. I want you to see this played out a little bit differently. Mark chapter 2, verse 17. We know this verse, but I just want you to play this out in your mind to see this idea of invitation. There's many places you can find it. But it says, and when Jesus heard it, he said unto them that they that are whole They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call righteous, but to sinners unto repentance. So Jesus says, I came to call sinners to repentance. How many sinners was that he came to call? Every one of them. We understand that. We're, you know, between Arminianism and Calvinism, we fall right where this is, guys. He has called every single sinner unto repentance. Does that mean every one of them is going to answer? No. He's not willing that any should perish. Okay? He has called all. The same word called. Now listen. If he has called everybody to move from being a sinner to repent and become one of God's children, then you are called into the mission. Which, what is the mission? Restoring lost man into the image of God. How many people are called? All. Look at Acts chapter 17. Now this word, the word call's not years here, but we're jumping off this same theme as we can see it. Acts chapter 17. Something interesting I found in studying for this. You know, the Apostle Paul is never called the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. Even after Barnabas and Saul are called to the work of missions, he's still not called the Apostle Paul until he gets out there and starts doing the work. Then he declares himself Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Interesting. Even Paul himself didn't say, I was called an apostle. I was called to do something. Jesus invited me. Once I got out there and did it, I realized, because what's an apostle? Guys, we looked at it last time. Apostle means sent one. Well, if you got an invitation to be sent, but you don't go, then you ain't no sent one. Does that make sense? Here's the call. I'm inviting you. I want you to come do this. Would you do it? No. Then you're not one of the ones who are doing it. This is not rocket science. Okay, this is pretty easy stuff. Okay, Acts. I'm sorry, I'm not there. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. And at this time of ignorance, God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. We just talked to him. He's not willing that any should perish, right? He called all sinners, everyone, to repent. Why then would we think that the call to serve God is only for a select few? Now, we've hit this. Bruce did a good job summing it up before we even started, that every one of us are missionaries. But you know what? That's not the idea across the board when it comes to Christianity. There's a lot of Christians who think that there's some special call, some mystic thing that God has to do in your life. No, every single one of us has received an invitation to go out and get in the middle of this legacy that he's left us. Follow me as I follow Christ. Every single one of us are missionaries. Why would we ever think that it's only for a select few? Well, you know, they went before the mission board and they jumped through all the hoops and they raised their money on deputation and now they're getting supported, so now they can go out into the mission field and they're successful missionaries because they're in a foreign country. Guys, the moment we step out this door this afternoon, we're in our mission field. And we have an amazing idea. Now, what's the difference? When you're in a foreign country, you can't support yourself. You can't get a job. You can't earn money in that field, at least in every other place except America. Sorry, don't mean to get political. But when you go to these other countries, you have to have support because you can't get a job. That's why we support missionaries the way we do. Every one of us are called to the mission field. The Great Commission is for every single believer. Now, I want you to hit something here. I got to step on my toes, and I'm going to step on your toes, or the Word of God's going to do it. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to quote a verse that we all love. Oh, boy, do we love this verse. I think many of us can quote it. And we know that all things work together for good. Right? How many of us know that verse? Heard it, or you know, maybe you can't quote it from memory, but we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now listen, and you're probably quoting it in your brain and you're hearing where we're going. To them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, don't we love to claim this verse? I know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I love God, so all things work together for good. And not just for them that love God, to them who are the called. Who's the called? Every one of us. Who then is supposed to be fulfilling his purpose? Okay, stop for a second. What is his purpose? What's his mission? What's the whole design of this creation? To restore lost man into the image of God that was lost by sin. That's God's purpose. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are invited to go out and carry out his purpose. So there are a lot of Christians that look at that and say, oh, that means everything's going to work out good. Oh, there's some qualifications to this verse. Not everything's going to work out good if you are not invited and out there doing his purpose. There are sometimes that things ain't going to work out so good. But be careful, because we love to say this verse. How many of us, when we read that verse, love to qualify ourselves as the called? Oh, I'm the called according to his purpose because I want all things to work together for good. Well, then if you're called according to his purpose, you ought to be out in the world like a missionary. Because that's what the call is. We can't sit back and say, well, you know, the pastor, the deacons, our missionaries we support, they're the ones who are out there doing the work of the mission. No, according to this, we agreed every one of us are called. We're all invited. And if we want all things to work together for good, we've got to realize that we're all called according to his purpose. Again, not chewing you out. We're setting the groundwork, right? We're forest for the trees. Remember what we said? Sometimes you can't see the big picture because we're focused on so many of the little pictures. Guys, every single one of us are missionaries. We're all called to go out there into the field. Now, the great part is if we were to step up and do this and do it successfully, God might actually send one of us to a foreign mission field. Because you know what? God don't send rookies. He wants to send people out there who know what they're doing. So if you go out in this mission field, which is my neighborhood or my job or the place that people I hang with or wherever I do my hobby, and that's the mission field, and you're getting good practice at it, and you're living it like a missionary should be, God says, hey, you know what? They're good at missions. Let's send them to another place to do missions. You know, so many times being in Bible college, Bible college is good sometimes, but it's not so good other times. One of the things that is not so good is we get a young person saved right in this church. We watch them grow. We see where God has moved them from and seeing God develop things in their life. And all of a sudden, they go off to Bible college. And now they're at Bible college. The professors don't know them, just met them, teach them all this bunch of information. And then instantly, they go from there and try to go to a mission field and plug in. They left all the people that know them and watch them grow and help them, not just as instructors, but as fathers, to a group of people who don't know them for anybody. And I've seen so many folks that I got familiar with kind of fall apart because they were never in that system of growth. They were never in the legacy that God put them in. We pull them out and say, hi, go to Mrs. Johnson's house and they'll teach you. You know, it's real easy for us to have people like Pastor Thompson because we've watched him down through his life, haven't we? You know, it's tough when we have a new missionary come in. Now, it's great when we have someone like the Smiths who Word of Life has watched them grow and we can trust Word of Life that they've put investment in them. But, you know, we get calls all the time. Hi, I'm a missionary to Zimbabwe. I'd like to come by and see you. I don't know them from anybody. Sometimes when we take it out of follow me as I follow Christ, we lose some of the ability to understand how God has trained people up and helped them to grow in the Lord and how much we can trust them on the mission field. Well, you know what's the greatest thing? If Jim, we've watched Jim grow, Jim all of a sudden says, I want to go to Zimbabwe. Okay, that may be a few years behind him, but we just sent off the Peppers over to Sierra Leone, and he was 79 when he went. Okay, you're never too old, but we could say, yeah, Jim would do a good job because we've watched Jim. We've seen him grow. We understand he's doing the missions work right here in our community. You say, oh, let's send Jim out. He never talks to anybody about the Lord now. He doesn't try to teach anybody. Why would we send him to another country? Because if you ain't doing it here, you ain't going to do it someplace else. So where does God want you to serve him? We read this first verse 29. So all things work together for good, those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be what? Conformed unto the image of Jesus Christ. What did we say the mission was? To restore lost man into the image of Jesus Christ. That is the goal, guys. The purpose is for us to go out into this world and help people to get conformed into that lost image. This is missions. So where does God want you to serve? Wherever you are. When? Right now. This is not hard stuff. If you do that and you can show God, then God could open up some things and he'll show you more. You know what? So many people say, well, I just don't know what mission field to go to. Well, just be in the mission field you are and God will open it up. So God is inviting all of us to participate. The call is out there. He's invited you. He's invited me. Here's a phrase. While you are serving God, God will show you details of the opportunities he has for you. Just do it. Just do it. One last passage and I'm done. I've heard that before. Okay. One last passage. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 through 11. 2 Timothy 1, 8 through 11. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought to life immortality to the light through the gospel. Verse 11. Wherefore I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. God has called us with a holy calling. He's invited every single one of us. Dan read it this morning. I could go there and we could talk about it. He says, the vocation that you're called in. Every single one of us are invited to step out into this missionary mentality and to leave a legacy behind us. Where are you fitting? I'm just asking. I'm not making a judgment call, but are there people behind you that if tomorrow you go home, or if God gives you a longer life and you get to say, Father, yeah, my physical family, I appreciate the fact that God, you helped me have kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, but can we also look back and say, you know what? I know the work of faith and the ministry that I have loved so much is going to continue because there are people that I've invested in who are going to keep the spiritual life that I've invested going. Because that's what God's asked us to do. What would have happened if the person who was the biggest influence on your salvation didn't step up and do what they were supposed to do? Would you and I even be believers today? Somebody ahead of us stepped up and said, I'm willing. I'm willing for people to look at my life and follow me. You and I need to be ready to do the same. All right, so we see the mission. We've seen missions. We look at our mission field. We've seen our call. And that we're a part of this legacy that needs to continue on. That in years down the road from now, when somebody picks up our 2018 membership roll and reads the names and not one of us are here, that this church is still thriving and God's work is still going on because of the impact and investment that we ourselves made. You ready? Because you know what? It may only be 2018. We may not make it to 2019. The Lord might just come, amen? I would love that. But until he does, it would be nice to know in 2050 or 2095 that people will say, you know, that Jim Yeske, since I'm picking on him, I'm just going to keep picking on him. You know what? I thank the Lord for his example because he helped me do this and he showed me how to do this. And because of that, I'm more of a man of God than I would have been without his example. Let's join that legacy. Be a part of this train. Go out there and be a missionary. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, this is not something we don't know. We know it very well. And Bruce hit it real quick, right from the beginning, because we know it. We are all missionaries. But Father, sometimes putting the pieces right in front of our eyes is important. The Lord, we have a legacy. We get to have people follow us. Not make us their God. But Father, look at things in our lives and see how we can faithfully follow the Lord and understand that it is possible for people living in 2018 to serve God faithfully. And Father, we've seen that this calling that's out there isn't anything mystical or super spiritual. Lord, it's an invitation that you're offering. Every single person that accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior are put into a great commission. We're all invited to be a part of it. And Father, I just pray, Lord, we'll only know that day when we stand before you the impact that our lives may have had on someone else. Father, I ask you this often.
that, Lord, let my life be a positive. How sad would it be if we stood before you someday and people looked at our lives and went, well, I'd have been doing it better if it wasn't for a better example. I know what Dan taught this morning, Lord, that we will each give example. There's no excuses. We can't blame anybody else. But, Father, we want to be the best parents spiritually that we can be. So, Father, help us with that. Not just instructors, not just people who know the Word of God, but people who are willing to live their lives in an example so that people can see our whole life, every bit of it, and know that people still are capable of living a faithful life for you. So, Father, thank you. Lord, bless this time as we receive up the Lord's Supper. Lord, just time to examine our own hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if I can have...